Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
105.9 FM, happy day before Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving Eve here on WMAL, 24th of November. Thanks for starting your day with us as we all get ready for the big Thanksgiving holiday. A reminder, we will be live here 5 to 9 tomorrow and Friday as you get your tables ready and get ready for football and as you head out for Black Friday shopping. So make sure you tune in. Coming up at 7:45, Stacey Langton, one of those great Fairfax County moms who pushed this issue regarding pornographic books in the school libraries. Those books are now reinstated. 8:05, we'll speak with a butterball turkey expert. All your questions. And at 8:35, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin. I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Amber Athey, who's also getting ready for the whole Thanksgiving thing.
I'll be making my rolls today.
Oh, very nice. A little Great British Bake Off action going on there. Charlie Spearing, I bet, is getting ready for his thing. He's got, like, people don't know this about Charlie, 18 children.
Wow.
Eight big family over there in the Spearing house. Wait, you're not up to 18 yet, are you, Charlie?
No, Larry. Still stuck at five, you know.
Five is a
very low number.
I gotta say, I used to think that because I had four, and I was like, I have a big family. And we got Spearing with five. We got Carney's got six. The Mandels, I have five now. It's like, you guys are just trying to, you know, blaze new trails. Good on you. Congratulations.
Well, thanks so much. We're looking forward to another Thanksgiving with plenty of mouths to feed on Thursday. So,
well, and you're feeding the mouths by covering the White House for Breitbart News. You do a great job of it. What's the buzz right now with this theater around the Strategic Oil Reserve? It just seems like it's all show and there's real no substance there, and everyone sees through it already.
Yeah, it's pretty obviously a political bit because it happened right before Thanksgiving, right before the Thanksgiving driving season when everybody's going to be talking about it. So it was clearly timed for the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, the White House yesterday couldn't even say whether or not it would reduce prices. They couldn't say when. They couldn't say how much. Jennifer Granholm, the energy secretary, you know, was caught not even knowing how much oil the United States consumes every day. And so it was definitely a situation, and oil markets went up 3% after this announcement was announced. So it's unclear exactly how much the effect will have on the actual gas prices at the pump.
We're here to fix the problem, and then the prices actually go up, Amber. That's generally not a good sign.
No,
that they would have gone up more if we
this. It's not just gas either. Jen Psaki was retweeting the National Economic Council senior advisor yesterday saying, don't worry, guys, the price for turkey has only gone up about $1 per bird, of course, much higher in different places across the country. And it's not just turkey. A lot of those Thanksgiving staples are going to be putting a hurting, especially in your pocketbook, Charlie, with all those kids.
Yeah, we'll manage. What was funny about her statement on the turkeys was like, don't worry about it. You know, our child tax credit will help you pay for more expensive turkeys. Our government handout money to families will help them pay for higher gas and higher turkey. This is kind of the growing message from the White House is like, don't worry, Uncle Joe's got you with all of this extra cash that we're shoveling out the door.
You know, you heard we've got Governor Scott Walker coming up from Wisconsin. And I mean, between the Rittenhouse verdict and then the horrific murders in Waukesha, Wisconsin, it's sort of the center of the sort of zeitgeist here in terms of politics, really, especially law and order issues reaching onto Main Street USA. It's remarkable that the White House is still trying to hold on to this idea that Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. Jen Psaki refused to stray off of that talking point yesterday. And have they had anything to say about Waukesha?
Yeah, well, President Biden waited a long time before he actually made a statement on Monday, issuing the typically, you know, sorrow and prayers. But what's interesting is that he left last night for his Thanksgiving holiday in Nantucket, with no plans to visit Wisconsin. As you know, typically when a community is rocked like this, the president will visit and, you know, act as a consoler in chief. And you certainly found, I certainly found it surprising that Biden did not feel the need to do so in this situation when, you know, there's been other, you know, shootings and stuff that, has prompted him to go visit the community and, you know, condemn violence and everything else. So no plans, Jen Psaki said, no plans to go visit Washoe, Wisconsin, but who knows, maybe he'll take a break from his Thanksgiving holiday to go visit, but I wouldn't bet on it.
That is especially interesting considering the media keeps telling us that Joe Biden is the president with outrageous levels of empathy. Another interesting thing about his statement on Waukesha and Jen Psaki as well is that they were quick to say, well, we're going to wait till we get all the facts in. But they notably didn't do that with the Rittenhouse case. And Jen Psaki in the press briefing yesterday even doubling down on the president's comments about Rittenhouse being an alleged white supremacist.
Yeah, that was alarming, seeing how, you know, President Biden was so eager to brand him and his campaign so eager to brand him as this white supremacist, and Psaki using the you know, this evidence that, you know, he took a picture with some people who were alleged to be Proud Boys, and even Rittenhouse said yesterday that he had no idea they were Proud Boys. And that's kind of thin evidence to sort of defend the president and his campaign about this claim that, you know, that both Rittenhouse and his mother have said that this was a very defamatory statement and something they're not pleased with and would actually like an apology.
It's the least that the president could do. Charlie, there's also this issue of the president continuing to duck reporters. It reached the point yesterday, as you listen here, where Stephen Portnoy from CBS News is actually shouting at him about when will he ever answer a question.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you and may God protect our troops. And I'm heading to a food kitchen to serve meals right now. Thank you for your time and effort. And I'll have plenty of time to talk to you later. Thank you. Thank you.
When will you answer Stephen Portnoy, formerly of WMAL? Charlie, when the mainstream journalists start to recognize that he's just ducking any kind of questioning or any sort of press availability, you know that it's starting. The pressure's going to start hitting him, won't it?
Yeah, the pressure is on, and it's just astonishing that Biden continues to just duck all questions. And the White House is doing this on purpose. You saw them earlier this week experiment with this idea of actually playing this like elevator music as the president left the stage to sort of drown out reporters shouting questions.
Oh, so, yeah. In fact, hang on. We've got that. It's just classic. A nice groove to it there, Charlie. At least you guys can, you know, sort of
live from across the street at the White House. It's live from a studio audience.
Right, exactly. It's just pathetic what a laughingstock this has become.
Yeah, and then when Jen Psaki was doing an interview with Politico, you know, claimed that, you know, Joe Biden had taken more questions than he would during a normal press conference in a week. After only taking maybe one or two questions from reporters when he visited with world leaders, that's a tradition that, you know, that the United States has always done.
Yeah.
Anytime you meet with world leaders, you have a press conference afterwards, and the White House just completely canceled plans for that. So, yeah, they got big problems at the end of this year. There's typically a press conference where the president will pop by a briefing room before the Christmas holiday, and we'll see if the White House can convince Joe Biden to come out for that.
Jeez. We will see.
It's not looking good.
The problem is, I mean, usually the assumption is the president's just ducking the press. He doesn't want to deal with tough questions or be in an awkward situation. The sad thing is this reinforces the notion and the appearance that he's incapable of answering a bunch of questions because he's just not there. He's not with it. That's the real problem here. Charlie, we got to leave it there. Happy Thanksgiving to your whole brood there. God bless you. We're very grateful for the work you do there for us and for Breitbart. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for having me, and everybody have a good Thanksgiving on your end.
Thank you. Amber Athey, you heard, of course, Chris Plant on your way home from the studio yesterday, he had some pretty great. It's funny how the media, according Morning Joe, as he pointed out yesterday on his program, have suddenly discovered that, hey, there's a looting problem in the country because, you know, now Louis Vuitton is being looted, or Nordstrom, and all of these really high-end stores in San Francisco, right? Where meanwhile, CVSs are, you know, looted on a regular basis in this country and have been for the last couple of years, especially in California, where they're overlooking law and order in every possible way. But now it's getting important, and it suddenly has become this big thing. You see the district attorney in San Francisco County having to do media saying, oh, no, we really do enforce the law here in San Francisco. When you're the DA and you have to actually go on national television telling people that you enforce the law, maybe you're doing something wrong, right?
Yeah, you would think so. Well, thankfully, the media is on the case to remind us that we shouldn't be calling what's happening looting.
Yeah, this is a real thing. ABC News is reporting that experts suggest that as you're talking about these stories here with gangs of people coordinating, you can see it on video. They all show up at the same time. They all plow into jewelry stores at malls, Nordstrom's, Louis Vuitton, all over the place. And again, this has been going. We've seen the security camera footages of, like, you know, convenience stores and 7-Elevens and stuff where this sort of thing has happened. It's been happening for years. And people just aren't focusing on it. They're not doing anything about it. People shrug and say, oh, well, they have insurance. Everything's going to be fine. Well, ABC News now says that as you're talking about the story, you shouldn't actually refer to it as looting.
Yeah, according to them, experts say that... experts say that you need to describe these crimes as smash and grabs, not looting, at least in part because looting implies that this is a race-based crime. Because apparently looting is usually used to describe people of color or urban dwellers.
Wait, so looting is racist? Or to call looting is racist?
That's what I'm getting from this article, yes.
Because if somebody says there's looting going on in X city or looting happened last night and criminals looted this jewelry store, the person hearing that word looting is automatically thinking it's black people? That's what the experts tell us?
That's right. So
who's the racist in this scenario?
Professor of Criminal Justice and Community Policing at the University of New Haven, Lorenzo Boyd, PhD.
Wait, what's the title again?
Professor of Criminal Justice and Community Policing. Yes.
That's a professorship.
He has a PhD. So Dr. Lorenzo Boyd, I guess.
How's that community policing going in San Francisco there, Doc?
Looting is a term that we typically use when people of color or urban dwellers are doing something. We tend not to use that term for other people when they do the exact same thing. So apparently no one calls white people who do this looters, which I don't think that's true.
Urban dwellers, by the way, is a great word. I'm an urban dweller. By the way, in most cities like San Francisco or D.C. for that matter, if you're an urban dweller, you're pretty wealthy. It ain't very cheap to be an urban dweller in San Francisco. I'm guessing most of the people doing the looting in San Francisco may have come across the bay from Oakland or Alameda or some other city where they can't afford to live in San Francisco. Urban dwellers. So now how is the media supposed to report this? Because I want to be, I'm nothing if not politically correct.
Well,
Amber, we need to change the vernacular on this program.
According to ABC7, we should be using the phrase smash and grab because it's organized and because you don't want to offend the urban dwellers.
Smash and grab.
Smash and grab. Not looting, smash and grab.
What if there's no smashing involved? I mean, you can loot without smashing
then
anything,
it's just a
right?
Grab,
then
I
it's
guess.
Inaccurate. I mean, honestly, you want to be accurate. If you go through the front door and just start grabbing things off the shelves, throwing it into a bag and going away, nothing's been smashed. I mean, there was grabbing involved.
There was grabbing. Well, ABC says that this is important for media literacy's sake. Viewers need to, quote, critically think about the language used by public officials and the media as we all try to make sense of, here's what looting is, a complex issue.
It's a complex issue?
Uh-huh.
No, actually, this is an issue that has been solved for many years now, decades, centuries in Western civilization. We have laws, and if you break them, the law will be enforced, and you will actually pay a punishment. It's not complex. They're making it way more complex than it needs to be.
It should be really simple, actually.
Yep, it is simple.
Looting is looting.
In fact, you have to be a doctorate in something to actually be this stupid about it. But we'll be sure to call it what it is, looting. It's 7:23 on WMAL. It's 7:37. Thanks for joining us on this Thanksgiving Eve. Can we say Thanksgiving Eve, Amber? It's a thing, right?
Any day before a holiday is an eve in my
book.
It's
always the eve. That's what I would like to think. But apparently Christmas Eve gets all the excitement. And New Year's Eve.
Yeah. All Hallows Eve.
Hallows Eve is literally the holiday, though. That's Halloween, right?
Well, now I feel stupid.
And I've gone down a rabbit hole. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to speak with Stacey Langton. She is a mom out of Fairfax County who brought to the world's attention the pornographic books available in the libraries that Fairfax County Public Schools just reinstated because everything's fine. No need to look here. Coming up at 8:05, it's the Butterball Expert. That's right. Thanksgiving Eve means we answer your turkey questions with Mary Alice Coffey, the Butterball Expert. I want that on my business card. Butterball Expert.
I'm sure that's a good conversation starter.
Governor Scott Walker would join us at 8:35, by the way, former governor of Wisconsin, where everything seems to be happening from Kenosha to Waukesha. We'll talk to Governor Scott Walker coming up in just a bit. That said, we have other things to talk about here, including an update on Kenosha, the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Kyle Rittenhouse is doing this, I guess, a mini media tour here. He did do his Tucker Carlson interview that we told you all about and played snippets of at length yesterday, but then he had a bigger visitation yesterday. He went down and met President Trump.
Yeah, he went to Mar-a-Lago. Trump talked about this last night with Sean Hannity on Fox News, said Kyle's a big fan of his.
Yep, here's a little bit of that.
I know you met with Kyle Rittenhouse.
By the way, I have to say, Kyle, I got to know him a little bit. He called. He wanted to know if he could come over and say hello, because he was a fan, unlike the other guy. He came over with his mother. Really a nice young man, and what he went through, that was prosecutorial misconduct. He should not have had to suffer through a trial for that. He was going to be dead. If he didn't pull that trigger, that guy that put the gun to his head, in one quarter of a second, he was going to pull the trigger. Kyle would have been dead. He's a really good young guy. He's 18 years old, just left Mar-a-Lago a little while ago, and he should never have been put through that. That was prosecutorial misconduct, and it's happening all over the United States right now with the Democrats.
Mr. President, you gave us a full hour, longer than we thought. We appreciate you being with us.
That was Trump last night on Fox. You heard Hannity's tone there. It's like, we had a lot of other segments planned, but we ended up doing the full hour. But that's still probably pretty good television, I'm sure.
You always try to get as much time out of the president as you can.
Of course, of course. So that's what he had. So he did go down and he met with Donald Trump. So now there seems to be this movement. This seems to be this thing at foot here to make Kyle Rittenhouse into an icon, into some sort of example, maybe even a political figure, right? A lot of people call him a hero. A lot of people, by visiting Donald Trump and going on Tucker Carlson, many people might think that he's, you know, in some way representative of their cause or maybe even a political figure. So I want to also point out one other media hit that he did yesterday. After his exclusive interview with Tucker Carlson, he went on News Nation. Now, News Nation is this. Leland Vittert is over there, formerly of Fox News. This is a news network that is not really opinionated. They're trying really hard, if it's possible. They're trying to find that lane that is, you know, we're doing talking about the things that matter to you, and we're going to do a lot of – but the hosts and the it's not as starkly perspective right or left necessarily. Am I describing it properly here?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, and again,
I'm not super familiar with it.
This is their branding. This is their branding. And actually, and listen, they're in terms of ratings, they're behind Newsmax right now. He went on Ashley Banfield's show. Remember, Ashley Banfield used to be on MSNBC, used to be on CNN, is now on News Nation. And I want you to read one of the we have some audio from this interview too, but I want to read this part in particular because I think it speaks to this with regard to holding him up as some kind of icon. He says Kyle Rittenhouse says he does not want to get involved in politics at all. He believes his case, quote, should never be used as a cause, unquote, for any political agenda. He said, to me, this case is about the right to self-defense, not where you fall, left or right. He said he did what he had to do because his life was threatened. And he says, I appreciate the donors who donated to my legal cause, but I don't believe I owe them a political stance. I owe them a huge thank you. I don't plan on accepting any internships. As you know, Madison Cawthorn, Congressman, Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman, Republicans offered internships. He says, nope, I don't want to get involved in politics at all. I know nothing about it. And I, again, the more I hear this guy speak, I think he's doing it right. And I think that's the right thing to say, especially if it's the truth.
I think it's really fair for him to say that he doesn't owe anyone anything. I do think it's a little bit naive to say that the case has nothing to do with politics, because it has been politicized at the highest levels of government.
Sure.
When you do have Democrats attacking the fundamental right to self-defense. So it has become political in that way.
It has become political, but from his perspective, the person who had to pull the trigger because a gun was aimed at his head, there's no politics about it.
Right.
That shouldn't be, and it certainly isn't in his mind. He also talked about, you know, about that night. And I play this for you for the people who say Kyle Rittenhouse is a hero, and he did something heroic by going there that night and doing what he did. And I don't want to debate that. I'm not taking a position here. I want you to hear what he has to say about his actions that night.
Would you advise anyone else to take an AR-15 assault-style weapon or high-powered rifle into a volatile situation?
After what I've gone through, I don't think it's worth having to fight for your life if you are ever attacked.
But looking back on it, you regret being there that night?
I wouldn't say I regret. I regret going there. I don't regret defending myself. I regret making the decision to go there. But what I'm trying to say is, if I could go back, I would not have gone there. I would have stayed home, but we can't change that. I went there to protect property, but I was attacked by violent people, which forced me to defend myself.
This is what I've sort of been saying about the situation, too. If it were my son, I wish he wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't advise him to. But if you're there, you got to defend yourself in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, we can't forget the fact that he was a kid.
Yep, he still is. He's 18. I understand people going to the military when they're 18. Trust me, I know that. They voluntarily do that, and they know exactly, and they get the proper training to be able to handle themselves. And again, I think that Kyle Rittenhouse did a great job handling himself. But I totally appreciate and sympathize and sort of I get what he's saying. All things said and done, retrospect, if I had to do it all over again, yeah, I probably would have stayed home.
It'll change his life forever. He'll have to live with this until the day he dies.
It's 7:44 on WMAL. On WMAL, Larry O'Connor here alongside Amber Athey, and we told you a little earlier about the latest out of Fairfax County Public Schools, where they're reinstating these two books, Lawn Boy and Gender Queer, which by any objective description contains incredibly explicit, if not outright explicit, pornographic material. Stacy Langton is a mom out of Fairfax County who first raised this issue at a Fairfax County school board. It's so explicit, Stacy, that I can't talk about it on the air. And you were asked not to describe what was in the book at the school board meeting because there were children in the room. And now here it is, reinstated. I'd love to hear your reaction.
Well, yeah, I mean, you described it accurately when you talk about the legal issue that surrounds this, right? Because there is a legal issue here. If the FCC cannot broadcast this on network television, if ABC, CBS, NBC cannot show the images because it violates the FCC's standards for obscenity, and if the Washington Post and the New York Times and any other newspaper can't print or publish the images because they violate the standards for obscenity, then why did Fairfax County public school system write up a letter that says these images are not obscene? So one of these two things can be true, but not both.
Yeah. If I gave this book, Gender Queer, which is a graphic novel, it's like a big old thick comic book. So the entire story is told through pictures and images. If I gave this book to a minor, and those parents complained about it, I would be subject to arrest. Pure and simple, Stacy.
Right, exactly. I couldn't take these into a public setting and show them to a child. And if I did, and you know, somebody happened to notice what I was doing, if I sat down next to a young boy and said, "Ooh, what do you think about this? Does that make you hot?" Because these are depictions of sexual acts, right? They are intended to titillate. And if I did that, you know, somebody could call the cops on me and I would be arrested for, you know, assaulting a minor or you know, whatever the law is for that yeah. particular action. So how is it that it's okay and it's suddenly magically legal if I step inside the school library? I mean, this makes no sense. We are either a nation of laws, Larry, or we're not. And I can't figure out which it is, because it seems like the network media last night who reported on this, all of our local affiliates, they all had no critical thinking happening. There were no questions asked. Like, nobody asked the obvious question, which is, well, how come we can't show you the images, viewers, but it's okay for them to be shown to the children in the libraries? Nobody's asking the right questions here. Yeah.
I found the statements by the review board on these books really disturbing as well. They had such a low bar for inclusion, saying, well, it's not technically pedophilia. And they even praised the inclusivity and the affirming nature of these books. I want to know more about who's on that review board. How does this process actually work?
Right. So I can tell you this. The assistant superintendent of instructional services is a woman by the name of Noelle Klemenko, and she is the one who the decision rests with at the end of this. So the review committee did their work. They submit their report to her, and then it's her decision. And she actually went on television last night on NBC, and she said, you know, I'm okay with all of this, and there is no pedophilia here. And she, the reporter asked her, well, would you show these images to your own children? And she said, yes. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to protect my kids from imagery like this. This is why we have ratings on films, you know, so you don't let children accidentally stumble across pornographic images on films. But we don't have labels on books. Yeah. And nobody would have known what was inside this book unless you opened it up. And when you see the images, you can't unsee them. And that's why I alerted the public. That's why I went to the school board meeting. And to have the school board come back with this as the decision, it's you know, I'm astounded by it. I'm shocked by it. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I still am.
Yeah.
Pretty damn angry, I must say. I'm having Howard Beale moment yesterday where I wanted to lean out my window and shout, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, you know, because this has got to stop.
Well, I mean, it's true. It does have to stop. And Stacey, I guess that's where we come to the final part. We only have about a minute and a half left, but ultimately, a school board can reject this. School board does not have to accept the decision of these administrators and the people who work at the district office. That's where the school. That's why we elect people. And so the school board's not going to do anything about this. But that's why we need new school board members. Right. That really is the only recourse here.
Well, look, that is not the only recourse. Let's not go there. Right. Because that's a long ways off. Everybody has mentioned that to me. And okay, great. That's until, you know, 2023, right? The next school board elections. No, I submit that is not the only path forward. I'm going to do the appeals process. There is an appeals process. I guess I have to fill out another form and I'll submit that. And I have no idea what's involved, but you know, somebody will probably tell me next week. But no, I'm not done. This isn't
about a
over.
Lawsuit?
And I think there's
Stacey,
exactly.
Cause we
like,
always,
maybe that's where this ends.
We always hear these school board members make these decisions, these stupid decisions that we never agree with because they're terrified that they're going to get sued by somebody. Well, how about somebody sue these guys? And actually, I mean, I would think a parent who's concerned about their child being exposed to this could sue.
And that may be where this ends. As I said, I'll do the, you know, appeal process. But maybe that's what's going to be necessary. But we have to keep the political pressure on. I think every single member of the school board needs to resign, especially, you know, from the top, Dr. Brabrand himself and all of the board members, because if they're in favor of this or they're, you know, complicit in this, they knew about it, they approved it. By the way, they held my report. That report I got yesterday morning at 10 a.m., was dated November 19th. Now that's convenient. They sat on it for 4 days until after the school board meeting, which was, you know, the night before last.
Right.
So they didn't want to have to talk about this at the school board meeting. They dumped it right before the Thanksgiving holiday. This is all intentional. But if I keep the pressure on, you know, I think there's a good chance that we can get some accountability. I'm not going to stop until I get the accountability. If it takes a lawsuit, I guess that's what it takes. But I will tell you this. The next school board meeting is December 2nd, Thursday, December 2nd. Mm-hmm. I better have an army of angry parents at that school board meeting with me, because if you guys aren't awake yet out there, This is what is being done to your kids in Fairfax County Public Schools. Your kids are being indoctrinated. They're being shown this type of material on purpose. It's an agenda. And Fairfax County showed yesterday they officially approve of this. They don't care about your kids. They're not trying to protect them. They are in favor of pornography in schools.
See there, you said army of angry parents. That means Merrick Garland's going to be knocking on your door, Stacey. But at least you'll get through Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for continuing this pressure. It's always great to hear from you.
Thank you so much, and you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
It's 7:53.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.